In 2010, Bob Mondello from NPR prepared a remembrance of Anne Brown for All Things Considered. And he told us composer George Gershwin heard only one Bess sing in Porgy and Bess. Soprano Anne Brown had written him a letter when she read that he was writing a folk opera about African Americans in South Carolina. She was a native of Baltimore, the great-granddaughter of enslaved people on her father's side, and the first black vocalist ever accepted at Juilliard. Might he consider her for a part, she wondered. For audiences in 1935, Brown must have seen to own the role of Bess. At a time when there were precious few classically trained black singers, this newcomer was a revelation. She was a 23-year-old music student when she stood before Gershwin, auditioning with Schubert and Brahms, the classical music she was studying at the Juilliard School. But he wanted her to sing a spiritual. Brown was offended, but she sang A City Called Heaven without accompaniment, and Gershwin immediately knew he had his leading lady. Except that his folk opera didn't have a leading lady part. In Porgy, the DuBois Hayward novel, Bess is just one of many poor black characters. But Gershwin was so taken with Anne Brown that he kept adding material for her. One day after a rehearsal, Gershwin sat Brown down and told her the show that she was in would no longer be called just Porgy. Brown had literally put the Bess in Porgy and Bess. There was still one thing she wanted. After much cajoling, she got it, a reprise of a lullaby sung by another character. It was called Summertime. That from A Remembrance of Anne Brown by NPR's Bob Mondello on All Things Considered in 2010. Gershwin's Bess is a novel, and it reveals the unique collaboration and untold story between the famous composer and the young soprano who first sang the role of Bess. Lisa Winkler will discuss her recent book, Gershwin's Bess, with Carol McManus as part of the 2026 Milford Readers and Writers Festival in Pike County, and that's September 18th, 19th, and 20th. And the festival takes place at the Milford Theater and all around the town. Carol McManus is president of Pike Artworks and co-chair of the festival. Brian Carso is vice president of Pike Artworks and co-chair with Carol of the festival. Dr. Carso is professor of history and government at Misericordia University and author of the critically acclaimed historical novel Gideon's Revolution, issued by Cornell University Press. Dr. Carso paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about this very special festival.
This is our 11th year, and it began 11 years ago because Milford, which is a beautiful small town, one traffic light, but lots of great restaurants and shops, and it's got a history, a literary history to it, from sort of a getaway from the New York City publishing business. A lot of publishers, writers would spend time in Milford. And so 11 years ago, we said, let's take advantage of that history and do something for Northeastern Pennsylvania and the tri-state area to encourage literacy, to introduce readers to new works of fiction and nonfiction, but also young people to get the enthusiasm to become lifelong readers. So we're excited to do that. It's a labor of love. We're all volunteers who put it together, but it's a labor of love that we're excited for every year.
And the title is Milford Readers and Writers Festival, and a lot of festivals are writers' festivals, and that just goes to show what your mission you've just explained.
Yeah, from the very get-go, 11 years ago, there's always been an emphasis on giving readers some access to the authors, to the writers. Again, it's a great small-town festival. It's not thousands of people. It's, you know, a couple hundred people. And after each session during the main stage day, the authors take questions from the audience. And then there's an opportunity after each session. We'll have the author's books on sale, and there's a signing opportunity. I have so many signed books. I love that. I have a couple shelves filled with signed books. So you can meet the author, talk to them for a minute or two. And then there's even an author's reception afterwards, hors d'oeuvres, and you can mingle and talk to these people who write some of your favorite books.
Which is exciting. And I was reading over the list of authors from past festivals, and Gloria Steinem was one of them.
I know, our first year, Gloria Steinem, she was fantastic. You know, we get national authors to come to Milford.
We just would like to have a sample of some of the authors you're going to feature.
Absolutely. Well, Erica, this year we have a couple TV celebrities, too. So Michael Costa is one of the co-hosts of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. He's being interviewed by Bob Eckstein, who is a humorist. He is a brilliant illustrator and cartoonist. And if you're listening, you've probably seen his work in The New Yorker, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal. And it turns out Bob is a big tennis player, a real tennis aficionado. And that's what Michael Costa, who is a nationally known comedian, who's on the cusp of a national tour, but he wrote this book called Lucky Loser, Adventures in Tennis and Comedy, that talks mostly about, I'd say 75% of the book is about how he learned to play tennis from his mom and dad when he was a child, went on to become a high school tennis star, went to college on a tennis scholarship, became a professional tennis player, did tournaments in America, Europe, Asia. And when he was a professional tennis player and being a tennis coach at the University of Michigan, he found himself writing jokes in the downtime. And so he said, well, why not? And he drove out like an hour away to an open mic night and tried out some of his jokes. And it became kind of a habit. And next thing you know, he's a national comedian. The book ends with him getting a call from Jay Leno saying, come on the Tonight Show, which of course is the breakthrough moment for comedians. So it's that story about how the ups and downs of being a professional athlete helped him be able to become a professional comedian and ride out those ups and downs and figure out a way to do that. I can't wait for that. It's going to be terrific.
Let's talk to your specialty, which is American history. You have an intriguing author.
Emily Sneff, I'm so excited. We're so lucky to have. She's the busiest historian I know right now. How clever. She wrote a book about, it's called When the Declaration of Independence Was News, and it was published by Oxford University Press, came out in April. And I've been going around as a historian myself to museums, New York Public Library, Boston Public Library, a bunch of museums to look at exhibitions about the Declaration of Independence. And Emily's book is in every single place because that's this conversation we're having right now about the Declaration of Independence. But her book looks at, you know, we all have an image of the Declaration. It's the John Trumbull painting where all the founders are there signing. And we see in our mind's eye the Declaration with the big John Hancock signature and all the 50 signatories. And Emily wrote her book about, well, that's not the way Americans experienced it in the weeks and months and year afterwards, that they read the Declaration of Independence in a newspaper or on a broadside posted up by the town meeting house. And it's fascinating to consider how the Declaration was transmitted to the American public and how they received it. And that's what her book is about. She was a co-curator of an exhibit at the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia called The Declaration's Journey. So she is the go-to person right now on the Declaration of Independence. And I'm interviewing her, and I can't wait.
But you're back to TV with the next fellow.
Stephen Fishback is one of the most delightful people you'll ever meet. And he was an English major at Yale University. Then he got a job in TV production. And one day somebody approached him and said, you know, Stephen, any interest in being on Survivor, right? The reality TV program that's now been around for 25 years, I think.
What's the premise of this show, Survivor? Are they on an island or something?
Yeah. So a number of, I think it's maybe 12 or 14 contestants are put on a remote island and they have to survive. They have to make their own shelter, get their own food. And then there's also these games that you have, these feats of strength or puzzles to solve. And every several days, there's a council meeting where somebody gets voted off the island. So if you're the last person standing, the last person to be voted off, that's how you win. So it's all sorts of psychology in addition to survival techniques and solving puzzles and games. This the psychology of how you're working with your other island cast members. So Stephen was on Survivor. He came in second. You know, listening to him talk about the things he was strong in, like figuring out the puzzles and so forth. But he came in, he's also because he's a very likable and gregarious person. So he came in second in the program. And then a couple of years later, Survivor had a vote for your favorite contestant, and we'll have an all-star Survivor season. And he was one of those too. So he's been on Survivor twice. He writes about Survivor and reality TV generally for People magazine and for various other outlets. And he wrote this book, Escape, that came out in January of this year, instantly became a national bestseller because everybody's interested in this idea of reality TV. And it's a fictionalized account of something like Survivor. And the fascinating thing is we call this session, How Real is Reality TV? Without giving anything away, but these reality TV programs, there are many different ways to display the same thing. So for instance, every contestant wants to be the hero, and they try. I want to be the hero of this episode. But every contestant is being followed around by a producer, a cameraman, probably somebody with a boom mic. And the producer that's following that contestant around has a different idea of how I'm going to use those hundreds of hours to tell a story. Maybe we don't put the hero stuff in. Maybe we cast you as a villain and you don't even know it. And then the network executives have a different idea of what kind of conflicts they need to have to make it a engaging program that people tune into every week. So everybody's got a different idea about how to tell the story. And that's in addition to being just a page turner that you can't put down. That notion of telling a story through different perspectives, I think, is fascinating.
And you've paired him with an intriguing person we know very well. Some of our listeners may have heard him reading the news, but he's a theater person. He's at Misericordia and a wonderful choice for this.
I'm excited. Matt Hinton works at Misericordia, where I work. He's a playwright. So Matt is just a wonderful choice. That's such a good pairing. I can't wait to see the two of them together.
And then you have a music-oriented speaker who's written about something we probably don't know. Even Gershwin lovers may not know.
Yeah, so Gershwin's Bess by Lisa Winkler has gotten a lot of just terrific reviews and a lot of readership about an opera singer who played Bess in Porgy and Bess back early in its production. And it's just a fascinating insight into the world of opera. But also it says a lot about Americana and America and race relations among people. It's a really, really insightful book about America and opera, and just a joy to read.
Is there music in Milford? Maybe this weekend, I think we have some music coming up with a woman who is an opera singer, in fact. Soprano Kathleen Eccles with flute, clarinet, and piano, Bizet, Copland, Verdi, and Bernstein.
This weekend, Kindred Spirits has something at Gray Towers this Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. Last week was an opera performance in the park, opera in the park. There are music festivals in Milford. There's always something, especially this time of year. Late summer, early fall is a really active time. There's always something going on in Milford.
Carol McManus is another stalwart from the committee. And she'll be leading a conversation with a prolific novelist.
I've been a fan of Mary Beth Keane for 6 years, I think. And that's one of the great things about this. Then you get to meet these people whose books you've read. So Mary Beth Keane writes about, in part, her Irish-American heritage and that experience of the Irish immigrants coming to America. So, for instance, one of her books that came out 4 or 5 years ago, Ask Again, Yes, was a huge national bestseller. It was a Tonight Show common read. She was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon talking about it. But it traced over like 45 years the generational experience of an Irish-American family, from coming to America, to Queens, the Bronx, to moving upstate, to becoming firemen, policemen, opening restaurants, bars. And it's a love story, but it's also how families deal with tragic situations and how they navigate through difficult times. And then The Half Moon is her most recent book. It's about an Irish family that owns a bar and a marriage and different things that happen to that community that's centered around this Irish-American bar. And then she has a brand new book called Whale Harbor that I haven't read yet. It comes out in November, but the preliminary reviews have been all raves. So I'm really excited to see what she's got in her latest novel.
If that weren't enough, you do have opportunities for people who are writers or want to write, and they can have some contact with Carol McManus, for example.
Yeah, I mean, the festival goes over 3 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And most of the events we talked about so far are Saturday events in the historic Milford Theater. But on Friday, there's two workshops on... One's called On How to Build a Book, and there's so many things available to us online that you really can construct a book. You can put the text together and illustrations and cover art and so forth, and then self-publish it, which is just a fascinating thing that's available to us now. There'll be something about AI and the implications of AI, but also how you can use it in a positive way if you're a writer. On Sunday, there's a session that I'm looking forward to about publishing for poets and other emerging creative writers, because of course self-publishing is always an option, but how to navigate journals and publishing houses, how you write query letters and get interest. So it's a great thing to sit and write your short story or your poem or your book, but if you want the world to read it, that's a session that can help you figure out how do you get it out to the world. And there's a whole bunch of other sessions. Most of these are free and open to the public. The main stage events, there is a festival pass that gets you into all of the sessions and an author's reception at the end. But you can also purchase individual tickets if you just want to see one or two authors.
And give us that website, Brian.
It is MilfordReadersAndWriters.com. MilfordReadersAndWriters.com. And all of the information about all of the authors, all of the sessions, the moderators, things about Milford to come and visit, it's all right there on the website.
Are you all looking ahead already, working on next year's festival?
Erica, the answer is yes. Already thinking about next year.
Brian Carso is co-chair with Carol McManus of the Milford Readers and Writers Festival that will take place in Milford, Pennsylvania, the 18th, 19th, and 20th of September. Dr. Carso is also a professor of history and government at Misericordia University and an author himself of the critically acclaimed historical novel Gideon's Revolution, issued by Cornell University Press. And he told us about the wide range of authors who will be in Milford for the festival. And one of those is Michael Costa, who is seen regularly on The Daily Show, and his book is Lucky Loser. And he will speak with someone known to WBIA art scene audiences, Bob Eckstein, Saturday at 5. Then We Hold These Truths by Emily Sneff, and Dr. Carso will interview Emily, and that's Saturday at 12:30, and that's when the Declaration of Independence was new. And another TV book, How Real is Reality TV? Stephen Fishbach will speak with Matthew Hinton, and that's Saturday at 2. It's a chance to hear Stephen Fishbach take us behind the scenes of Survivor. He was on the show 2 times. And The Ties That Bind, Mary Beth Keene, will speak with Carol McManus Saturday afternoon at 3:30, and she'll be talking about her many novels and The Half Moon especially. And then there are many free events around the town. Those events will be taking place at the Milford Theater. But on Friday, The Business of Writing, there are 2 programs at the library. Those are free. youth programs on Saturday, youth programs in science fiction, the library, and Good Shepherd Episcopal Church, and then Genre Day at Good Shepherd Episcopal Church. For all the listings, you can find everything online, MilfordReadersAndWriters.com. MilfordReadersAndWriters.com. It's September 18th, 19th, and 20th in Milford in Pike County, and you can have a chance to even talk with and hear about Gershwin's Bess by Lisa Winkler. She'll be talking with Carol McManus about the true story, but hers is historical fiction, the true story of Anne Brown, who was the first woman to play the role of Bess in Porgy and Bess. MilfordReadersAndWriters.com.